Welcome to Equilibrium Echoes, the podcast where we delve into the transformative power of your inner world on your relationships. I'm your host, Alyssa Decker. Join me as we unlock the secrets of emotional equilibrium and dig deep into the tools and insights needed to foster healthier, more fulfilling relationships in ways that feel safe and authentic. Back to Equilibrium Echoes. I'm Alyssa Decker, your host, and I am here today with a very special guest, Britt Wassef. She is a Canadian who is joining us, and her business is called Bodywise. We're here to talk about some really, really fascinating things that have been a huge part of my story, about how to tune into what your body is telling you and how that can play a role in healing, both physically and emotionally. So Britt, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to do what you do.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm stoked to be here. So I call myself a chronic pain recovery coach or a movement therapist. And basically I help people connect more deeply to their bodies so that they can get out of pain, start healing, and really learn to tune into the wisdom of their bodies. And I kind of got into this work by accident. So I was a yoga teacher. I was teaching full time. And I had all these people that were coming to me that had chronic pain. And they were getting referred to me by doctors, by physiotherapists. Everyone was saying, go do yoga. It's good for your pain. And they came to my classes. They would feel better during the class, but it started to become like a band-aid for them. So they'd feel good during class, but as soon as they left class, pain would come back. And so I just took it on myself. Like, I've got to figure out how to help these people. What can I do to help these people? There's got to be something here. There's got to be a reason why people are suggesting yoga and that these people are showing up at my doorstep basically looking for help. So I went on a mission to uncover what I could uncover about chronic pain. And really what came through was that it wasn't so much about yoga or about the movement, but it was more so about how you were doing the movement and how you were listening to the information that your unique system was giving you. And so in my journey, I had my own chronic pain, and I wasn't searching for answers for myself, which is kind of a funny situation because I was totally resigned to the fact that I had chronic pain. I was like, this is part of me. This is always going to be part of me. But let me see if I can help other people, which is so funny.
That is really interesting. And isn't that where a lot of us start? Like, especially women, we're so focused on taking care of other people. I think a lot of times we do start there. I know for me, like when I left a 19-year abusive relationship, I was focused on healing for my kids. Like, I was really focused on what do they need. But it really came down to what they needed was for mom to be well. Like, that was their biggest need at that point. So I first kind of became aware of this whole idea of listening to your body through all of that, through my healing and recovery process. And I read a book called The Body Keeps the Score, which was really fascinating. You may have read that in your, in your learning journey. For me, it was things like how my body was holding stress and tension, learning how to release that, getting proper sleep, which is so over talked about and not really understood. So tell me a little bit about, like, when you have a new client and they're experiencing some kind of chronic pain, like, where do you start and what is that exploration process look like?
Yeah, it's really, really unique to the individual. So the way that you need to get out of pain, even if like two people came to see me with neck pain, the way that they need to unravel their pain is going to be completely unique. I have yet to see two people with the same symptoms kind of unravel their pain patterns in the same way. So it's a really, really unique process. The thing is that sometimes when it comes to healing, like getting out of pain isn't enough motivation for someone to get out of pain. It seems really silly because of course people want to be out of pain, but there's typically something that they want more than being out of pain. So it might be that they want to play with their grandkids and they want to be able to pick their grandkids up. Or it might be that they want to get back to running. So typically I try to find the thing that's like under the thing. Like, yes, they're coming to see me to get out of pain, but there's usually something deeper than that. And if we can find that thing, sometimes I refer to it as like the carrot, like the thing that that a rabbit really wants.
Right.
If we can find that thing, then typically all of the work that goes into healing gets a little bit easier. And you probably know this from your own journey. It's not easy work to heal. Like a lot of stuff comes up.
And we're so conditioned, I think, those of us, especially in first world countries, to think that a pill can fix it, right? And that's the easy, like that's the easy answer we like to go to first, but that really just masks symptoms, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And most people, when they first come to see me, they're like, okay, well, what stretches do I need to do? Or what strengthening exercises do I need to do? And that's not really the way that getting out of pain works. And like Instagram, the internet is flooded with all these really quick tricks, I guess, to help you get out of pain. And it just isn't the way you get to the root cause of things. You really need to uncover why the pain is there in the first place, what it's trying to tell you, and then work within that. So it's a really unique process for each individual.
So do you find that there's really a strong connection between emotional trauma and physical pain and trauma? Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, 100%. It was something that when I started doing this work, I was a little bit nervous to talk more about. It wasn't really being talked about at all when I first started this work. And it was something that I kept noticing. I noticed it within myself and I noticed it within my clients that when we kind of uncovered some emotional stuff, that the pain disappeared. That as people connected more to their physical bodies, the pain disappeared. And my own story, I had a whole lot of anxiety, depression. And when I went on this journey, this healing journey, I guess, to connect more deeply with my body and learn more about how my body is designed to move and how it was communicating with me, my anxiety and my depression completely dissipated. It wasn't something I was trying to fix or get rid of. It just went away as I connected more deeply with my body. And I was like, what just happened? Like, I couldn't believe it. And now we are talking a little bit more about it. There's a little bit more research being done about how deeply intertwined the mind, body, and spirit are, really. And often when I talk about mind body, like, I don't even like separating the two words because I really see them as one complete unit.
Right. But if you're like me, I kind of was operating as though they were separate, right? Like, it really was a whole mindset shift for me, because I would just be like, oh, I'm tired, and that's because I didn't get enough sleep. Like, there, but I was chronically tired for months and years. And so, but it never occurred to me that that was my body trying to tell me something, right? Mm-hmm. Or I had chronic hip pain for years. Never occurred to me that that was something other than the fact that I'd had 5 babies and nothing was ever going to be the same, right? So how does someone start? Like, if they're listening to us today and they're like, oh, like maybe the lights are coming on a little bit and they're realizing that maybe this physical pain that they've dealt with for years might be more than just your surface level explanation. Like, where would they start? Like, how do you even begin thinking about this differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, do your due diligence. Make sure you get checked out. Make sure there's nothing physically going on. So see your doctor. If you've already kind of gone through that process, you've gone to the doctor, you've gone to physio, you've gone to see a chiropractor, you've gone to see a massage therapist, which this is often the case with people who have chronic pain, is they've done all these things and then they're still in pain. So if you've kind of gone through all of those processes and you still have pain, then it might be time to start to look at things like the nervous system, things like your emotions. So first do your due diligence, cross off some of those boxes. And then you can start to explore these other avenues. And this is typically when people come to see me. They've already gone to see a lot of other professionals and they just haven't gotten the results that they want. There's like a little bit of an intuitive feeling, I think, that they know it's possible for them to feel better, but they just don't know how to get there yet. And so to give you more practical tools of how to do that, there are tons of different techniques. One of the practices that I love the most is a journaling practice. And again, it seems kind of mind-blowing that a journaling practice could help with pain, because again, we typically think like if I'm in pain, something is physically wrong with me. I need to stretch or strengthen. That's commonly what I hear. But if it's an emotional kind of mind body thing, then a journaling practice can be really effective. And this particular journaling practice is meant to help you connect to the emotions that maybe don't feel comfortable for you to express elsewhere in your life. So what you would want to do is give yourself permission to write down like what is the real feeling that came up for you. So I'll give you an example so it makes sense. So you could write something. So for example, I'll give an experience that happened to me. So there was a period where me and my husband were both working from home and we were always around each other. Love my husband with all my heart, but man, we were spending a lot of time around each other. And so my journaling practice looked like, I can't stand my husband. He's driving me crazy. He's always in my space, blah, blah, blah. And on I went. Now, were those feelings really true? Is that how I really felt about my husband? No, but they took up space in my brain and that took up space in my body. So when I was able to express those and get them out in a healthy, safe way, that helped to clear up lots of tension, emotional and physical. So this practice is really effective. It's meant to be done for about a 20-minute interval, and it's meant to be done consistently. So with any of this work in terms of healing chronic pain, it's not a one-and-done thing. This is an ongoing process. It takes time. It takes a little bit of work, but this journaling practice alone can be really transformative. So if you're someone who's kind of thinking, well, hey, maybe this is me, this is a good practice to try out for a couple of weeks and just notice what shifts occur and what this brings up for you. One more key piece of this journaling practice is that it's not meant to be shared with anyone else. And it's not meant to be reread by you. It's literally meant to be a place for you to get all of that clutter and chaos out of your mind and onto a page. And then after the fact, you can delete the pages if you're typing. You can burn the pages if that feels exciting. Just make sure you don't leave this journal laying around, because you're going to want a space where you can write stuff that feels safe that no one else sees.
Right. Yeah. That's key, right? If you're worried about someone else reading it, you're not going to be completely honest in what you write. So you said something at the beginning when you were talking about this journaling about understanding what you really feel, right? And I think for some personality types, that's easier than others, right? I am very analytical. I'm very, like, if you're familiar with Myers-Briggs, I'm INTJ. Like, we're very, it's all very analytical. Tapping into the emotion takes a lot of effort. Like, it really is work for me to even figure out what I'm thinking. People will say to me, how do you feel about that? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, give me an hour and I'll figure it out. But what I have learned over the last 2 years or so, especially in therapy, is that a lot of our emotions come from beliefs that we have or feelings that we have that may or may not be accurate. And so, for example, if someone says something to you, the way that you interpret that is what causes an emotional reaction, not necessarily the words that people say to you. And so that understanding that has been really important to me because for me personally, because probably because of my personality type, but I think it's important for all of us to get to the bottom of, like, because we get stuck in these surface reactions, right? Like, so-and-so said such and such, and that made me feel this way. And no, that's, like, not how it works. Somebody said something and you chose how you were going to react to it based on a belief or a feeling that you had or thought that you had. So if I were to sit down with a journal and try to write down how I was feeling, probably it would be a lot of analytical thought rather than actual feeling. So how would you help someone who sort of gets stuck in that, like, reactionary, this is someone did this and I felt this, or I'm stuck in my head and not tapping into my feelings very well? Like, talk to me about that a little bit. Like, how would you help someone sort of break through that, like, surface level things that go on in our heads all day and get deeper with ourselves?
Yeah. And I think sometimes we just need to get that stuff out first. You can kind of think of, you can think of your system as like a bucket. There's something called the threat bucket. And inside of our threat bucket is everything that's ever happened to us. So any injuries, any conversations that didn't go the way we wanted them to, the way we've interpreted those conversations, all of these things get put into kind of our threat bucket. And our threat bucket has a threshold. So when it reaches that threshold, that's where we feel or start to experience pain or other symptoms. So sometimes we just need to do things to clear out that threat bucket and just, you know, going through that logical, he said, she said, this sucked kind of thing. And just allowing that to come out is a great first step. And then when that comes out, like, you can only do so much of that, right? At a certain point, you're going to be like, okay, I've gotten all the words out of my head. I've gotten all the logic out of my head. What's left? So then you can start to go into the feeling. And the thing is, you can't think your way to feeling. So people who do have a logical kind of brain, and our culture is just such a logical brain focused culture, so it can be really challenging to feel the body. So for those people, I would just invite them again and again to just notice how things land in their body. So when you're in the conversation with someone that's uncomfortable, how does that feeling land in your body? Where do you feel it? Or, and a really good example of this, if you're really unclear of how to start feeling your body, is just to think about the natural physiological reactions that happen. So when you're embarrassed, your cheeks go rosy, right? Or when you're nervous, your belly starts to get those, like, little butterfly feelings. Even when you have to go to the bathroom, right? There's, like, a feeling that happens in your body. So if you can start to just think about those ones that you know for sure and that you've experienced, most people have experienced these, then you can start to be like, okay, well, what other ones are coming up? And a lot of people, a lot of us hold stress in our shoulders. So you can kind of start to uncover, like, when I have a big deadline for work, oh man, my shoulders start to feel a little bit more heavy. And you can just keep noticing and keep exploring the body. How is my body responding? So then when I'm in that conversation with someone and it hits me in a certain way, I can feel that in my body. How does it land in my body? And it just gives you a new kind of insight into what you're feeling instead of thinking about what you're feeling.
Right, because our bodies don't overanalyze, right? They just tell us the truth.
Yeah.
As I've kind of gone down this journey, like I've become more aware and I've realized like I can start to interpret how safe I am in a conversation or a situation based on how my body is reacting. Like it's really fascinating, and I can I've gotten to a place now where I can be aware of it in the moment. Like for a long time, all I could do was analyze it after it happened because there was just too much going on in my mind and my emotions and all the chaos and the jumble of whatever. But I just want to encourage people that the further you get down this journey and the more you do this work, the easier it gets and the clearer things become. Like right at the beginning, it can feel like this jumbled chaos of you don't even know what, except that it stinks and you want out of it. But it does get better, and you can sort of retrain your nervous system to process information differently and to react differently. You could things start to sync up and it becomes a little clearer. Give me the correct terminology for what I'm trying to say here, because no, I'm sure you know, but.
You just nailed it. That's a perfect way of saying it. I always think of it as like in the beginning, it feels like you're in a storm and everything is just stormy around you. And all you want to do is get out of the storm. So your body wants to do what's familiar every single time, even if that familiarity isn't what's best for you, because our body just wants to survive, right? Its sole job is to keep us alive. And what is familiar has kept us alive so far. So it prefers familiarity to something new, to novelty. So when you're going from, you know, where you were to where you want to be, that in between is completely uncomfortable. It's completely uncomfortable for your system. And if you can learn to stay there and be there and do it in small doses so that it doesn't overwhelm you so much so that you go into a shutdown or another kind of response, but just allow yourself to be in that chaos and be in that storm. If you can do that, you get to see what's on the other side of the storm. And it's really, really great what's on the other side of the storm. The clarity, the connection, the ability to be with yourself and to be with others is what's on the other side of that storm. And if you haven't had that experience yet, that first kind of healing journey, we'll say, is really, really hard. I remember in my own kind of process with this, I cried and cried and cried. I didn't think I was going to stop crying. I feel like I cried for a year and a half straight. Like it was just so uncomfortable. And then as you keep going with this work and as you keep noticing, as you keep connecting to your body, it's not that it, like things still come up. It's not like things are easy and you're in the clear and you do this one time and it's done. But what happens, or at least what I've noticed for myself, is that I'm better able to be inside of that storm. I see the storm and I'm like, okay, we've been here before. I can sit in this storm. So it's a little bit easier because I've had the practice and I know what's on the other side of the storm. So while I'm in the storm, I can be like, okay, here we are in the storm. I know what's coming. I can be here. I'm safe. I can be here.
Right. This is not going to kill me. This will pass. Yeah. For, and, you know, it's part of this, I think, is giving yourself permission to take baby steps and let that be enough. Like for me, there was a time where after my husband and I had separated, I still had to talk to him on a regular basis. And that was not pleasant. And we have five kids. So this is going to be an ongoing thing, right? I have more than a decade left of having to co-parent with him. And the very first step for me was just giving myself permission to not say anything. Like when we would be in these conversations and he was being really unpleasant, for me, all I could do at first was give myself permission to not say anything and not engage. And that gave me an opportunity then to start feeling what was going on in my body rather than trying to scramble to come up with a response to him or to defend myself or to whatever. And for me, that was a huge turning point because it went from these conversations always being focused on him to me starting to tune into me. But for me, like I wanted to fix it. I wanted to leave every conversation feeling good. And that was never going to happen, right? So it felt like a step backwards for me at first to just give myself permission to not respond, right? Mm-hmm. And to disengage from that interaction. Even though I physically had to be present, I didn't have to spend my emotional resources trying to fix him. I could just stop. And sometimes it's hard because it does feel like a step backwards sometimes, like in situations like that. And also, like sometimes I would stand there in those conversations and I would be crying and he would be yelling. And for me, it felt like I'm not defending myself, right? I'm not doing anything. But the truth was, I was doing more for myself by disengaging, detaching from that, and paying attention to what was going on with me than any kind of response that I could have given him. And I mean, as time went on, I've gotten so much better. I can now have conversations with him and not get triggered and have all these reactions. But my point is, sometimes we just have to give ourselves permission to take these teeny tiny little baby steps that might even feel like a step backwards, but it's what we got to do for ourselves, right? So talk to me a little bit about that. Excuse me. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, I feel like, and I've talked to so many people recently in my coaching practice who I will tell them, these are your first steps. And they're like, that's a step backwards, Alyssa. And I'm like, no, really? It's not. Like, but they're like, that feels like the opposite of progress. You know, it feels not great. Like, so talk to me a little bit about that. Like, how do we wrap our heads around it when we feel like doing this work is like a regression or a lack of progress? We're not accomplishing anything. Like, how do we frame that? Like, how do you explain that to clients?
Yeah. So first, people have probably heard this, and it's so much easier to say than it is to stay with. But healing isn't linear. It's not a staircase. You don't just step up the step, and then the next day you step up the next step, and then the next day you step up the next step. It's just not how it works.
Yeah, it's more some like, days it's falling down the stairs.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. It's like this scatter. What are those called? Scatter plots? I don't know. It's like it's all these little dots everywhere, and the overall trend is going upwards. The change is happening. It just doesn't happen in a straight line. And then when you're speaking about baby steps, you're speaking my language. Like, this is so important. These teeny tiny steps forward or what feel like steps backward are absolutely key to gaining momentum. And the way this shows up in the work that I do is that when we're working on the physical body, when we're when we're learning, so part of getting out of pain is about learning about the body's biomechanics and how the bones basically move, how the joints move, and all of that. And a lot of people compensate their movements. So what I do to help them get out of pain is learn how to move in the range that they have. And if you have pain, often that range when you're first starting out is very, very teeny tiny. So I'll give you an example so that it solidifies it a little bit. But when you take your arms up overhead, a lot of people, their rib cage will pop out when they lift their arms. And that's a compensation. So the arm in its pure range of movement should be able to move all the way up overhead without the rib cage going with it, or without the person having to brace their abdomen to keep the rib cage down. Most people can't do that. So when they first start working with me, the range that their arms can move is actually quite small. And it can feel like to them that they're not doing much of anything. But what's magical about this is if they can commit to moving in that small range, they notice really quickly that they feel better. So even though they're not doing very much, or what feels like isn't doing very much, because they're reducing their compensation patterns, because they're moving in a range that they actually have, they start to feel better really quickly. So the proof for them becomes in the pudding and in the work that they're doing. So then they can take that and apply it to their emotional world and their life. So whatever you learn about your body gets applied to kind of life as well.
Oh, that's really interesting. I don't know if I've ever thought about that before, but as you were talking, I was thinking about my three-year-old. And I was watching her the other day. She was just rolling around on the floor being silly and crawling and jumping and just, 3-year-olds and their boundless energy. But I was watching her and I was noticing, like, she moves very differently than I do, right? It's easy to think, oh, that's just because, you know, I'm 42 and creaking and groaning and all that stuff. But she doesn't have, I was listening to while you were talking to her, I'm like, she doesn't have that, the compensating, like, she's just moving naturally without all these mitigating factors that my body has picked up over the years. I was thinking about trying to raise my arms and I'm like, no, I'm sure I won't be able to, like you were talking about. So I kept thinking of that phrase, like the knee bones connected to the jawbone, right? Like our bodies really. She was learning that in preschool. So I guess my point is, I was thinking like how things change over time and we don't realize, right? Like what I hear you saying is that really probably the way my 3-year-old moves is really more like how I could or should be moving if I was doing the right work for my body.
Yeah, absolutely. They're so free, right? They're free. They don't have this. They don't have other people's opinions and the feedback and the way that they're supposed to be in the world. Like they don't have that yet. They just get to be in their bodies.
Right. Very, yeah. She doesn't wake up in the morning and have to think about what's going to hurt when I get out of bed. She's just up.
So when you start to move your body kind of the way it was designed to move, you don't have to have that either at any age.
How do we get there? Like what happens between 3 and 42 that gets us to that point?
Yeah, I mean, so much, right? Anything that has been said to you, you know, other people commenting on your body, like something I think about as a woman is like when you're young and you're developing and you're embarrassed that you now have boobs, right? Like you kind of shrink away and hide. That changes your posture. Any injuries that you've gone through that you maybe didn't rehab quite to the end of completion. Like, we always want to just like get back up and do the thing. We don't actually take the time to recover and to work with the injuries. So that can impact it. Stress, our emotions, divorces, like everything impacts everything. It's not just our physical body. It's the whole mind, body, spirit that really impacts our movement patterns. And all of that being said, the way that our body is always responding is so that we can live to the best of our ability. Like, even though someone might not have all the range in their arm, they can still get their arm up to grab for what they need, right? Their body helps them get there, even if there's some compensation that's happening, which is a lovely, beautiful thing. And then if we can just work at cleaning up those compensation patterns, then the world really becomes your oyster. There's so much freedom that comes from that.
That's really fascinating. Like, I don't think I've ever thought about that before. Like, how is my body showing my divorce? How is my body like reacting to, it's just such a full circle thing, isn't it? Like, our emotions, the things that happen to us, our physical experiences, it's all connected. And I know for me, sometimes because it's all so connected, it felt like starting to do this work sort of felt like sticking my toe in a whirlpool. It was either the feeling of this is going to do nothing, or like this is going to hurt because the motion is so strong. Like, I don't know if I can even have an effect on this cycle and this pattern that I'm caught up in. But the good news is you can. You absolutely can. And it won't kill you. But it might not feel good for quite some time in some cases.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel like, especially for those of us who get to adulthood without understanding this and doing this work, it could really be a lifelong. I mean, I think it's a lifelong thing anyway, but if you get to your 40s and you've never done any of this, like, there's a lot of work to do. Okay. So tell me a little bit about like your typical client and what it looks like to work with you, and how would someone know if working with you is kind of what they need? Like, talk to me a little bit about that. How do people find you and what does that process look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I typically tend to work with people who would consider themselves type A, logical, very much so in their brains. And I just help them come into their body a little bit more. How of that is a little bit different for each person. But we work to just come into the body to feel what's going on, so then that logical part can flourish and be even stronger. Because often people only have their brain as their kind of main toolkit. So I just like to help them bring their body on board as well. And I tend to work with people in a 3-month package. So 3 months we work together. We meet once a week. And this is just because there is so much to learn. For a lot of people, they haven't heard this way of looking at things. So it's a whole new world. I love the whirlpool example you gave. I often use, like, you're opening a can of worms and you cannot put those worms back in the can.
Yes.
It's
really true.
Yeah, it's true. So there has to be, I think, a level of wanting to change. And if you don't know how to get there, that's okay. That's what I'm here for. But just a feeling that you're ready for the next step. You're ready to open the can of worms.
Right. And you for me, it was, I'm going to have to deal with this man for the next decade. And I don't want to feel lousy every time I see his name on my phone or whatever. So there for a lot of us, I think there's a circumstance or something that like forces us to go, I cannot do this anymore. And I'm willing to do the work, even though once I start, I can't put the worms back in the can. I love that I love that analogy because it's so true. Like once you start to see it, you can't unsee it. Like you are committed. And that's one thing I would say to people listening is make sure you're committed because there is no going back. Right. Exactly. So can go ahead and continue that. I interrupted you there.
And that's part of my process. So I always offer free consultations so people can get to know me a little bit, learn a little bit more about the work and just to, you know, feel it out and see if that's something that they are really ready for, because we're not always in the stage of life where this is the right step forward for us. There's a certain stage that you will know if you have a conversation with me, if you're ready for it or not. And people can find me via my website, or on Instagram, I guess is where I'm most active, and I will give those to you for the show notes.
Okay. Yes. I'll definitely put all that in the show notes. And you mentioned, when we talked earlier that you had some meditations that you can share with people.
Yes, absolutely. I've got, a meditation that is specifically geared for those in chronic pain. So I will send that, to you as well for the show notes.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been a really fascinating conversation. So make sure that you check the show notes, look Britt up getting how to get in touch with her, how to get those free meditations and learn more about BodyWise and all that she does. And thanks for listening. We will see you soon in the next episode. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Equilibrium Echoes. If you would like to learn more about the podcast, visit www.coachingwithalyssa.com/podcast. And while you're there, book your free consultation and download the preview of my new book, Marriage is Hard and Other Lies I Believed. I'll see you in the next episode.